بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بالإحسان إلى يوم الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we just want to take a couple minutes of your time and we want to discuss with you an issue that we're coming up upon very fast. Insha'Allah ta'ala, next week we will be in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Now actually what I want to do is for the remainder of the Durus for this week, we want to kind of change the topic. We want to begin to discuss some of the issues that revolve around Dhul-Hijjah so that we as individuals will have a working understanding not only about the virtues and the benefits of this particular time, these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, but as well we'll have a working knowledge of exactly what is going on during this time. How is it that we take benefit in this time? And what is it that is expected from us during these days or the beginning of the month of Dhul-Hijjah? Now, the first thing that we want to discuss with you all is the superiority of this time of the year. Like we said, as of next week, we will have actually begun or started into the month of Dhul-Hijjah. So we want to discuss the superiority of those days over any of the other days of the year. Now look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about, or what he mentions in Surah Al-Fajr, in the first and the second ayah, where he says, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشَرٍ, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, by the dawn and the 10 nights. Here, in this particular ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by both the dawn as well as the 10 nights. Now, we don't want to get into a whole lot of the issues of ikhtilaf and things along these sorts, because as we said, we just want to take these as short lessons. And the part that we want to focus on here is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he swore by these 10 nights. So what is upon us as Muslims is to look to see what it was that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said these 10 nights were referring to. Meaning that which he taught his companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, and what it was that they passed on all the way up into our scholars in terms of what these 10 nights are referring to. And when we look into the tafsir of a Shaykh Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, we see that he says that those 10 nights that are spoken about here in this particular ayah are talking about those nights that are tied in with the days of Dhul-Hijjah, or tied in with those 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And Ibn Kathir didn't just come out of nowhere with this statement, but he got this from people that have been passed down this information from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the way down, such as Ibn Abbas, such as Ibn Zubayr, such as Mujahid, and other than them. And all of this information, you can go back and look into the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, and you'll find all of this information and these different statements. So the thing we want to talk about, we don't want to get too far off topic. Like we said, we're talking about the superiority of this particular set of days. And the thing that we were referring to here was the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore by the nights that were connected to these days because of the importance of these particular days. And we see that Ibn Kathir, in trying to support this statement, he brings the hadith or the statement of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, when he said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامِ الْعَمُ الصَّالِحِ أَحَبَّ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِيهِنَّ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ, where Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, it was reported that he said, that there are not any days that doing good or good actions that are done in them are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except those that happen during these 10 days. So he replied, no. He said, not even jihad fi sabilillah, for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, except for the man, kharaja bi nafsihi wa malihi, the man that went out with himself as well as his money, thumma lam yarji' min dhalika bi shay, and then he didn't come back with anything. He lost his life as well as his wealth. Look at how beloved the good deeds that we do during these days are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that nothing is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the ibadah that we do during these days. These days of Dhul Hijjah. So much so that even an individual that goes out for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with himself and with his money and comes back and doesn't have anything. He lost his life and his wealth. So we see that we shouldn't be taking these 10 days as though it is something that is just like yesterday. Or just like last week or just like last month. We need to understand, because we're Muslims, we're trying to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to take advantage of these times in which it's easy for us to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make up for all of those times in which we haven't been trying to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see here, just to recap that, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by these 10 nights. Because of the fact that they are so great, and the fact that they are tied to 10 days, which themselves are so great that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love actions that are done outside of those 10 days, the way that he loves the actions that are done during those 10 days. As well, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about in Surah Al-Hajj, and this is in the 28th ayah, or the 28th verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَذْكُرُوا اسْمُ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they mention the name of Allah on appointed days. And again, like we said, this is Surah Al-Hajj, verse number 28. Now, what does that have to do with what we're talking about? We're talking about those days of Dhul Hijjah. And we know from looking into the books of Tafsir that many of the scholars of old, they explain to us that these ayam and ma'lumat are those 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And this is a statement that we'll find that was carried by Ibn Abbas. It was carried by Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and other than them. And these statements are readily available. You can find them in most any book of tafsir. You can find them in a lot of the books that are dealing with fiqh, where they talk about the importance of the superiority of these days of Dhul Hijjah that inshallah that are approaching very quickly. So you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only before did he swear by these 10 days, he mentions those things that the believers do during those 10 days, from amongst those things, which are mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot. And as Ibn Abbas told us before, there are not any days that are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of the actions that we do, or our actions are not more beloved during any other time as much as they are during these days. So when these days come, as a matter of fact, forget when these days come. Starting now, begin to remember the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mention Allah kathiran, or a lot. Especially once these days reach us. You should constantly be remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Talking about Allah. Mentioning his book. Mentioning what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. These days are days for ibadah. to have our ibadah accepted and get rewarded for our ibadah like we're not getting rewarded outside of this time. And I don't want you to feel as though I'm trying to beat anything into your head. But I keep going back to, and I'm going to keep going back to, one particular hadith, because it's a hadith we've heard of a lot. It's a hadith that's reported by Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. That hadith we were talking about by Ibn Abbas, that said that there are no days in which righteous deeds are more beloved to Allah than these 10 days. Brothers, we need to take the time to begin to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now. But we need to understand that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us during those 10 days. We need to understand or begin to understand the superiority of our ibadah or our worship during those 10 days. So that when they come around, that we make all effort to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as we can, so we can get as much reward as we can from Him for our ibadah. As we said before, we don't look at these 10 days as though they're like any other 10 days of the year. Because that which we do in them is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to be beloved, and we as Muslims should want to be beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible. We should want that which we're doing to be beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should be striving to do those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, especially during those times in which He loves them the most. So we have to take time to begin to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He wants to be worshipped. We have to take time to look at when are the best times to make this worship. And we understand now that during these 10 days that are approaching fast, or that are approaching quickly, that we need to take full advantage of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during these times. And when we look to see about the explanation of this particular hadith, we know that in Fath al-Bari, Ibn al-Hajar, rahimahullah, he made a statement. He said that the most apparent reason that these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah have such a great excellence with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and why it is that our actions that we do during these times are so superior and so much more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is because of the fact that the greatest acts of worship are combined during this time. It's from the sunnah, some of the greatest types of worship that an individual involves himself in are carried out during these times. Of course, we have the salawat, or the prayers. You have a lot of people fasting. You have a lot of charity that's given. You have a lot of dua that's made. You have a lot of people that are making the Hajj. So there are a lot of good deeds that are carried out during these 10 days. There are a lot of things that you can busy yourself with during these 10 days. And as we said, we're going to keep this kind of short. So what I want to do now is I just want to go over maybe some of these different types of ibadah that we can try to. And I'm not saying that we wait until these 10 days begin to start worshiping Allah. That's not my point. My point is that when these 10 days start, that we busy ourselves with these different types of worship. But we should definitely be worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we're not doing these things now, or if we didn't do these things yesterday, we need to be doing them today. And the first of the things that we would like to mention here is the salah, or the prayer. It's highly recommended to perform the obligatory acts in the times in which they were prescribed. So obviously, you're going to want to make all of your salawat. And I know the majority of you brothers, we usually all pray in the same masjid. So it's not like we're not praying. And for anyone that may not be praying or may not be praying all of their salawat, then you need to start. As well, those things that we also need to be worrying about are those non-obligatory acts, those non-obligatory salawat. Make your sunnahs. They only take a minute or two. Make your sunnahs for Fajr, for Dhuhr, all the way to up until the Isha. Make witr. It doesn't have to be long. Make your non-obligatory acts of worship during this time. And we say this because the more that you do these non-obligatory acts, the closer that you become to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The closer you get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and achieving His pleasure or Him being pleased with you. And as we said a minute ago, you want to increase in these non-obligatory acts. And we mentioned the salah, we mentioned this in the section dealing with the salah for a reason. And this reason is because in your salah, you make a lot of prostration, you make a lot of sujood. And this is something that is highly, highly, highly recommended. It's a very beloved act of worship that you do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when it came to talking about the sujood or the prostration that the slave does for his Lord, he said about this, he said to increase in your prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, increase in the amount of sujood that you make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, because you will not prostrate to Allah with even one prostration, except that He will raise you in levels and He will remove sins from you because of this prostration. And this is a hadith that you can find it having been reported by Imam Muslim, rahimahullah. So we see here that we not only need to increase our prayer during this time, but we need to increase our prostrations that we make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what better time to do this, obviously, than when we're in prayer. Now, the next thing that we want to talk about is fasting during this blessed time of the year. We know that the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam used to fast the ninth of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Ashura, and 3 days in every month. And this is recorded by Imam Ahmed, by Abi Dawood, and as well Imam al-Nasa'i and others in him. So we see that fasting on the ninth of Dhul Hijjah is something that we should be doing because it's from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Now to add on to this hadith that we just talked about, we want to talk about something in specific. We talked about the ninth of Dhul Hijjah. We know that it is something that has been confirmed by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that a person has a huge reward for fasting the day of Arafah. A huge reward for fasting it. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, know that Allah will expiate for you your sins, or Allah will forgive for you your sins for the previous year as well as the year to come. And this particular hadith that we just talked about just now, about the reward for fasting the day of Arafah, was reported by Imam Muslim. So on that day, there should be no excuse for you to decide you don't want to fast. If we're not concerned with the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves more the ibadah that we do during this time, we should be concerned with our own souls. Look at the reward for fasting this one day out of the year, Yawm al-Arafah. Look at the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you because He loves the fact that you fasted on this particular day. So we see here, we should be increasing in our prayers as well as our fasting. These are legislated acts that should be done during this time, as well as something else that we should be trying to work on, keeping ourselves busy with, is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should keep our tongues wet with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with certain statements like Allahu Akbar, with certain statements like La ilaha illallah, with certain statements like Alhamdulillah. We know that there are a lot of statements from the Salaf of this Ummah when they talked about the importance of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially during this time. Like that narration of Ibn Umar, when he said, so increase yourselves in saying La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, and Alhamdulillah. This is something that is highly, highly, highly recommended that you do all year round. How much more should you be trying to do it during these 10 days of the Hijjah? We know, especially during this time, Ibn Umar and Abu Huraira, they used to go around. They used to go out in the marketplace during these 10 days saying the takbir. So much so that the people used to follow them in what they were doing. The people began walking around making the takbir. As well, we know there are other narrations talking about the fact that Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala an, that he used to say the takbir in his minbar. And the people at the masjid would hear him saying this, they would also start to say the takbir. And the people in the marketplace would also be saying the takbir. And the streets were basically encompassed by people that were making the takbir and making this remembrance and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have other hadith that have been narrated to us on Ibn Umar that explained to us the fact that he used to say the takbir during these 10 days and after the prayers, and while he was in his bed, in his tent, while he was gathering with the people, and while he was walking. Always, he used to busy himself with making this takbir. So we see that this is a very important type of worship that we should be definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, trying to busy ourselves with. Now, when we make the takbir, it's not like a lot of us a lot of times try to make dhikr, where we decide, okay, well, now all of a sudden we're going to do everything inside of me. I'm just going to think it. This is something that should be done out loud, because this is what we see was done in the narrations. This is how the Salaf of this Ummah used to make takbir. They used to make it out loud. So we don't walk around the streets thinking takbir, because this isn't what the people were upon. This isn't what was narrated on the companions of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. But rather, they used to walk around so much that the people would hear them. And because they heard them, or on hearing them, they would begin to repeat these takbirat as well. So we say all of this because we want you to understand that these acts of ibadah that we should be busying ourselves with inside and outside of Dhul-Hijjah are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we do them inside of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. So rush to start doing these things now, because there's no guarantee Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to allow us to reach Dhul-Hijjah. But at the same point in time, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us to reach it, then this is not a point in time of the year like any other 10 days. Take advantage of it. Work hard. Strive to please your Lord and seek His forgiveness. Show Him you're thankful for that which He has given you, especially this particular opportunity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us our ibadah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our sins. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise us amongst the abrar. Ameen, ameen, Allahumma ameen. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وأستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.